And it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast. It is 7 p.m. in the Middle East. Today it's March 23rd, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is the Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to cover the Israeli election, the one that made all the world go wild. I'm not sure why, but we'll try to find out in the results what happened, when what will happen with the state of Israel and after the election. Then we're going to talk about the situation in the Middle East in general, of course, and some threat that the troops, the USA troops, got some, online for some reason. People think that they're so smart and they can touch the troops. You know, the defense mechanism of the world, you know, the one that protects our liberties and freedom everywhere. And then we're going to talk about, there is going to be some segments of news that I thought that you would like to hear, and your opinion is always welcome here. This is our show. This is your space, like it's my space. This is a space where we love you. We cherish you, and we'll respect everything you think about us, but only if you are love-fearing God, fearing human being, of course. No, if you respect humankind, if you respect the world you live in, if you respect the existence of each other, that's where the spaces deserve to be preserved. This is BBS Radio, of course, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and I'm so happy to be here today. For some reason, there is something about today that makes everything go different. I don't know why, but I have such a strange feeling that something special is about to happen. And not because, there is already some coalition in the future of the state of Israel, something that means that this election season is going to be over and done soon, and they're going to go back to work and start taking care of people instead of taking care of themselves. And let's talk about politicians. You know, for some reason, politics is something that interests everybody. It's intriguing, it's nice, it's smart. But, you know, people have to have a life. We have some culture, we have some music, we have some life, we have friends, we want to take care of our business, we want to flourish, we want to grow together. You know, if the politician not helping us develop, you know, a better future, we really don't need them. We don't need anybody to come and obstruct the future or obstruct livelihood as we feel it, or want to change the way we do things, or think that whatever they think is better than ours. We just want to have a life. And everywhere, you know, people everywhere needs to just settle and let the politician get out of our, you know, out of the stage. It's enough already. I've been taken over by politicians since I don't know when. Let's say I'm not going to reveal because it's going to make me feel so embarrassed how many years I took the time, the space, my life, and I work for them for free, of course, you know, doing my good deed for the day, every day, again and again, to help connect, to help, you know, bring business, bring flourishing. But it's their job. They need to do it. If they wanted to elect me, they would elect me. Why should we do it always and they are in our face and we're supposed to serve them? Get over yourself. Now we have a coalition in the formation in Israel, and everybody wants to be, you know, a minister of some sort. Everybody thinks that it can run the Middle East. Let me tell you something about the Middle East. Nobody runs it. It's a very special space. People live here. This is the challenge of all time. People live here in a very strange condition. We have oppression. in some countries. We have abuse in other. We have a war in other. We have fighting against each other. And, of course, we have the state of Israel. When everything goes, you got a war, you got a fight between, you know, people, segment, religious, non-religious, Jewish, Arabs. It's a coalition of nonsense. And if we want to look at the future of the world, we need to really take a time and say, is that what we want for our children? Is that the life that Israel and the Middle East is going to drive? Now, let's say, what's the role of Israel in all this faction? And, you know, by all means, they all want to kick Israel and the Jews out of the land. But please, let's not start that nonsense again, because look what happened to Europe. They tried to kick the Jews out, and what happened? They have devastation, no business, no thing. You know, they bring light, let them do their share, they bring information, they write, they share, they host, they know, they manage, they have the know-how. It's not like I will tell Italian how to, you know, to make the heart or decorate things better. I wouldn't even dare tell Italian how to do stuff beautiful, because they are the masters. Italian are the best. Of course, we have some French that think that they can do better, but let me say, the Italian are, as far as I'm concerned, are the best in an incredible art, in incredible fashion, incredible food, for God's sake. And I'm not talking about love. They're special too. So with that thought, let's get some music in and we'll go to the next and important thing that we still have to talk about. But I'm sure that, you know, this time I don't know if I'm going to talk about all the rest. My mood is completely different. Let's have some music, Doug, and let's go back after a while. And we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis on BBS Radio, and this is the Impossible Truth. Yes, that's Vita Loca that we all want. You know, we want to have some fun. It's about time we start losing up that the grip on, you know, this is the my way or the highway. We have always, you know, a way to overcome the, you know, any obstacle, only if we want it. Now, think about a world where we can actually overcome our obstacle, have a vita loca, you know, have fun, grow, help bring the world to a place where we can grow, you know, agriculture, sell food to everybody, bring clothes to Africa, help them with the disease, get the kids in the Middle East to school and get to those, you know, extreme fanatics that don't want the girls to learn or have fun or, you know, to study and be smart, to, you know, to settle. It will be a nice, nice world. We should try that, you know, even for the heck of it. You guys tried it all. You tried to fight. You tried to bomb everything. You tried to fly over, zoom in, you know, whatever you want. You did that. And we didn't get much cooperation. And, you know, I'm here in Israel, and, you know, of course, it's the Middle East. It's crazy. In the north, you got the Syrian battle. They just, you know, they lost a helicopter. Assad regime lost the helicopter to the rebels. All seven passengers got, you know, hostage now. They're hostage. Their fate is settled. And, you know, one thing they want them to say, you know, say something bad about the Assad. Like, who cares? Whatever they said. You know, you have hostage seven, you know, they flew in, you know, they lost their helicopter. Take them hostage. Make exchange of some sort. Stop killing. What's the heck? What did you gain? Did you gain anything? What kind of a fight those rebels have for 4 years? What kind of rebels, you know, what the sense of all of this if you don't have any kind of argument, if you don't talk? And, of course, any kind of controversial issues should be discussed on the bigger arena. But we need to settle. This is the time to settle. And by all means, Syria is the proxy of Iran. Iran, get off your high horse. You're not going to have nuclear weapon. It's not going to happen. This is the next century. It's over. Nobody's going to bomb anymore anybody because on that level. Because if not, we'll destroy what we work so hard to get, and nobody wants it. You don't have the effort. You know what? How dare we even think about something like that for the kids' sake? You know, protection is fine. Protection is fine. But nobody threatening you, for God's sake. There is no reason in the world they let you. Now, I accumulate some messages that I collected from the news, and I want you to listen in. I want you to listen in and think right. You know, are we going in the right direction? Is this world is going in the right direction? Are we tomorrow going to wake up to a better tomorrow, the one that we promise ourselves, our friends, our loved ones, and our parents, and our children, and our grandchildren? Listen to this.
Than you think. I wanted to talk about a separate topic today as well, and it is one that a lot of people are reading about in the newspapers over the last 72 hours. As we all know, there was an election in Israel this week, and many people are wondering, what is this aftermath of the election we keep reading about, where there's this controversy and the back and forth? Certainly some of that happened a few weeks ago when the Prime Minister of Israel visited Washington and spoke before the Congress. People are wondering, well, what is it that's going on here? And why is there so much controversy around all this? And I wanted to take a moment to delve deeper into this, because this is important. First of all, answer the fundamental question, why should we care about what's happening with Israel, in Israel, and about Israel? And there's two reasons I think we should care. The first is because Israel represents everything we want that region of the world to be. Israel is a democracy, as evidenced by the vibrant election process that they just underwent. Israel is a free enterprise economy, a developed economy, that provides prosperity for its people and its partners in trade and commerce. And Israel's a strong American ally, a democracy, free enterprise, and a strong American ally. Don't we wish the entire Middle East looked that way? Don't we wish we had more countries in the Middle East that looked like Israel, that were our allies, that were democratic and had a free and prosperous economy? How much better would the world be if the Middle East looked more like Israel and less like Iraq and Syria and other places look like at this moment? There's another reason why we should care about Israel. Israel's not just another country. It has a special and unique purpose. It was founded as the homeland for the Jewish people in the aftermath of the Second World War and of the Holocaust, where over 6 million human beings were slaughtered. And it was founded on the promise that never again in the history of the world would there not be a place for the Jewish people to go and be safe. It's not just a nation. It is a nation with a special and unique purpose, unlike any other nation in the world. And I, for one, am proud that the United States has stood with Israel for all these years. And I am proud that the American people, on a bipartisan basis, have stood behind the Jewish state of Israel for all of these years. And so the security, safety, and future of Israel is in our national security, as well as a moral obligation of every member of this body and us as a nation. And what are the underpinnings of Israeli security? There are two things. The first, the ability of Israel to defend itself. And the second, the reality that if Israel ever has to defend itself, the United States will be there to support them. There is little doubt about the first pillar of its security. As the Prime Minister reminded us, unlike many other countries, Israel is not asking us to send American soldiers or aircraft to support them. They are willing to defend themselves. But the second pillar, about strong and unquestionable American support, is increasingly being questioned around the world, and there's good reason why. Let's begin by the aftermath of this recent election. As far as I know, maybe this has changed in the last few hours, after this election, the president has yet to call the prime minister. That is unlike, of course, the fact that in March of 2012, he was among the first to call and congratulate Putin in Moscow. Or that in June of 2012, he was among the first to call Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood when they won the Egyptian presidency. Or that in November of 2012, they called to congratulate the top Chinese communist on their new position, which, by the way, is not elected in the way you and I would consider there to be an election, or the fact that in 2013, it was a historic phone call they brag about, how they called the Iranian president and congratulated him on his election. And, of course, in August of 2014, he called to congratulate Turkey's president, Erdogan, and on. Time and again, this president has made a habit of quickly calling these leaders when they win. But as of 4:40 Eastern time, as far as I know, that call has yet not been made. And thinking about all the things that have been going on with Israel, you would think they would be quick to make that call. It hasn't happened. Maybe it has already, but it certainly didn't happen far enough. But where does this come from? Is this new? Is this something that's just happened recently? It isn't. In fact, you can start to see the trends here pretty early. In October of 2008, then-Senator Obama told an audience in Cleveland, quote, "There is a strain within the pro-Israel community that says that unless you adopt an unwavering pro-Likud approach, which is one of the political parties in Israel, unless you adopt an unwavering pro-Likud approach to Israel, then you are anti-Israeli," which is a silly comment to make since at that time that party had been out of power. In January of 2009, the president, upon taking office, makes a quick phone call to the Palestinian Authority president, Mahmoud Abbas, before he even phoned the Israeli prime minister. "This is my first phone call to a foreign leader, and I am making it only hours after I took office," Abbas's spokesman was quoted Obama saying. In June of 2009, the president hosted American Jewish leaders at the White House, and he reportedly told them that he sought to put, quote, daylight, unquote, between America and Israel. Here's the quote that that someone at that meeting says he made, quote, "For 8 years during the Bush administration, there was no light between the United States and Israel, and nothing got accomplished," he declared. In September of 2009, in his first address to the UN General Assembly, President Obama devoted 5 paragraphs to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, in which he declared, to loud applause, by the way, in the United Nations, no surprise, quote, "America does not accept the legitimacy of continued Israeli settlements," end quote. And he went on to draw a connection between rocket attacks on Israeli civilians with living conditions in Gaza. There was not a single unconditional criticism of Palestinian terrorism. In March of 2010, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton berated Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on a now infamous 45-minute call, telling him that Israel had, quote, "harmed the bilateral relationship," end quote. By the way, the State Department triumphantly shared details of that call with the press. That same month, the Israeli ambassador was dressed down at the State Department. And Mr. Obama's Middle East envoy canceled his trip to Israel, and the United States, under his leadership, joined the European condemnation of Israel. In May of 2011, the State Department issues a press release declaring that the department's number 2 official would be visiting Israel, Jerusalem, and the West Bank, as if Jerusalem was not part of Israel. So they leave that separate. Later in the month, only hours before Mr. Netanyahu departed from Israel to Washington, Mr. Obama delivered his infamous Arab Spring speech, which he focused on a demand that Israel return to its indefensible pre-1967 borders with land swaps. In November of 2011, an open microphone caught part of a private conversation with the president and French President Nicolas Sarkozy. Sarkozy said of the Israeli premier, "I can't stand Netanyahu. He is a liar," end quote. But rather than defend Israel, the president piled on. He said, quote, "You're tired of him? What about me? I have to deal with him every day," end quote. February of 2012, at a conference in Tunis, the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, was asked about Mr. Obama pandering to, quote, Zionist lobbies, end quote. And she acknowledged that that was a fair question, and went on to explain that during an election season, there are comments made that certainly don't reflect our foreign policy. 2014, during the Gaza conflict, the White House and the State Department criticized Israel for the deaths of Palestinians who were being used as human shields by Hamas. But far worse and far more suggestive was the president's true feelings, was his wise about his true feelings, was the decision to try and use arms supplies to Israel as a pressure point against Israel. In October of 2014, an anonymous administration official called Prime Minister Netanyahu a chicken. I can't even finish it. So that's what's happened up to this point. That's what's happened up to this point. Now, What's happened now? An election just happened 2 days ago. The first thing the White House says is you used a lot of divisive language in that election. And that is saying a lot from someone who's been elected at least once, probably twice, on extremely divisive language. But what about when Iran had a fraudulent election in 2009 and the people of Iran took to the streets to protest in the famous Green Revolution? You know what the White House said? We're not going to comment on that election because we're not going to interfere in the sovereignty of Iran. So they will comment on the elections of an ally, calling the rhetoric of the election divisive, but when an enemy, which is what Iran is, has a fraudulent election and kills people that protest against it, we can't comment. We can't comment because that would be infringing on their sovereignty. The other thing that's happened is the Prime Minister made a statement about how a two-state solution isn't possible given the current circumstances. And what does the White House do? They jump up and say, well, then that means we may have to reconsider. We may have to go to the United Nations Security Council now and support a resolution. That means not use our veto authority to stop a resolution that calls on Israel to create a Palestinian state with 1967 borders. Why would the Prime Minister of Israel say that, by the way? He's right. The conditions don't exist. You want to know why the conditions don't exist? Well, first of all, let's go through the history of peace negotiations. In 2000, at Camp David, Israel offered the Palestinian Authority nearly all of the West Bank, Eastern Jerusalem, and Gaza. And the Palestinians said no. In 2000, Israel withdrew from southern Lebanon. You know what that is today? A place where they launch rockets against Israel. In 2005, Israel withdrew from Gaza. You know what that is today? A place that they launch rockets against Israel from. In 2008, Israel offered, again, the Palestinian Authority, nearly all of the West Bank, nearly all of Judea and Samaria and Eastern Jerusalem. The Palestinian Authority said no. What about the Palestinian record? Let's begin with the fact that, according to many reports, about 6% of the Palestinian budget is diverted to pay the salary of prisoners. That means the salary of terrorists, of people who have blown up centers and killed civilians, including Americans, and they are being paid salaries and benefits, including with money from donors such as the United States, Great Britain, Norway, and Denmark. Here's another material that how the PA routinely depicts a world without Israel. This is from a Palestinian school book. Quote, Palestine's war ended with a catastrophe that is unprecedented in history when the Zionist gangs stole Palestine and established the so-called State of Israel, end quote. Or what about this particularly horrific expression of ideology which appeared in a Palestinian Authority daily as far back as 1998? Quote, the difference between Hitler and British Foreign Minister Balfour was simple. Hitler didn't have colonies to send the Jews to, so he destroyed them, whereas Balfour turned Palestine into his colony and sent the Jews. Balfour is Hitler with colonies, while Hitler is Balfour without colonies. They both wanted to get rid of the Jews. Zionism was crucial to the defense of the West by ridding Europe of the burden of the Jews, end quote. This is from a daily of the PA, and these are the people that were pressuring them to cut a peace deal with. What about this? The Palestinian Authority has named numerous locations and events after Palestinian terrorists responsible for killing Israeli civilians. But what about this? This opinion piece that appears in the New York Times in 2013. Palestinian Authority television and radio stations, public schools, summer camps, children's magazines and websites are being used to drive home four core messages. That the existence of a Jewish state is illegitimate because there is no Jewish people and no Jewish history. Second, that the Jews and Zionists are horrible creatures that corrupt those in their vicinity. Third, that Palestinians must continue to struggle until the inevitable replacement of Israel by an Arab-Palestine state. And fourth, that all forms of resistance are honorable and valid, even if some forms of violence are not always expedient. Instead of being schooled in the culture of peace, the next generation of Palestinians is being relentlessly fed a rhetorical diet that includes the idolization.
And this was Senator Rubio. Of course, he was calling all what was made wrong to the Jewish people in a few years that he could recollect. Come on, we're not going to make that account because we're going to win anyhow. You know, the Jewish people have a record of suffrage. So what's the big deal? We are not going to remind ourselves again and again what's wrong with what they did to us. I'm just telling you what's wrong with you thinking that it's better off doing something wrong instead of taking advantage of this blessing that God gave to the Jewish people, the light, to be the light upon nation. The Jewish people have a duty. They have a duty to enlighten people, to bring peace, harmony, and help the world, roll in the right direction. Now, if we're all going to listen to what's the rhetoric of the Palestinian, darling, guys, they cannot put one and one together with all due respect to all the geniuses that they think they have. They cannot. They got a piece of plan of Gaza, they turn it to terrorists. So every time somebody gives them something, somebody else take it away from them. Let's not say that they give it to them. We don't blame them for terrorists. We're just blaming them. They cannot hold to their whatever. So it means they have no actually faculty in trying to preserve. They are not interested. They are not willing. They are not cooperating, and they are not even having a vision. They don't have. They have a vision to repeat, to have the same thing that we have in Israel, and they will have it. They think they can take Israel. They can take over Israel. It's like somebody goes to Washington, D.C. and says, you know what? This is nice. I want that. Okay, now, I want that. This belongs to me. India, let's say India comes to Texas and say something like that, and they're right. But they want it because it's now it's Texas and it's so beautiful thing, and now it's theirs, or the Mexican, whatever. You know what, guys, I think that I must say it, and I must say it as an adult, as a mother, as a thinker, somebody who study a lot of philosophy and study a lot of thinking and how can we resolve stuff. And to tell you the truth, there are things that I don't understand myself inside the state of Israel. You know, I'm trying to take classes here, and not everything is clear to me. But in generic sense, like, I don't understand, but let's say in generic, who is thinking that to destroy or to take away any part of Israel is something smart? Smart for who? What kind of gain? You know, what kind of negotiation? You think that they're going to bomb less, whatever? No, it's not going to happen. It's going to. We have to reverse that psychology of we give them the be quiet. No, it's not happening. We have to push back. It's time to push back. Push back over, and God, you push back all out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not for sale. Jerusalem is holy city of God. You guys don't even, how dare you even think to take holy site from the Jewish people. Every time it will happen, God will reveal itself again and again, and you're going to lose. This time it's not going to happen. You know why? Because this is the third time the Jewish people come, and there is a promise in the prophecy saying the third time they're going to rebuild the temple, and it's going to stay here forever. It's forever. It means that this is, you know, this is the God's place. As I said to you, we have to obey to grace. We have to remember we are not God. There is a God, and it's not us. Now, you think that I can control my life tomorrow? I cannot control. I can do whatever I can to make it good. I can control whatever my responsibility are. I can try to reserve all the time to help each other, to work for you and for the world and make sense. But really, God is in charge. So this is the space where I tell you that again and again, because you have to remember that. Because every time you try to force your hand against God, that's where, you know, it's a joke. You know, make a plan and God joke. And it's everything. Look at the plan they made. Come on, they wanted to change Prime Minister Netanyahu. No, it's not about Prime Minister Netanyahu being the ultimate saint, the ultimate savior. He's just a good man that is in office. Everybody's throwing tomato over him all the time, and his wife. And his poor baby is like, you know, helping. He doesn't want to go away because he has a mission. He has a mission to protect Israel from Iran. From Iran, they have a bomb, so he doesn't see anything else. And everybody wants to get rid of him. And they had a plan. Oh, my God. They had a plan to go. Let's get rid of him. Let's get this non-profit NGO, V15, to get there, to go knock on the door. Everyone knock on the door and say, let's change. Didn't know for what, but change. Then, you know, you ask somebody to change and tell you for what? For what? You know, you, V15, go home. V15, you suck. Because we didn't even come a plan. You didn't kill a came alternative plan. Is what you had is V15 was alternation between an ex-right wing with a left wing, young leader or not developed leader or not to the played leader. What did you give him? You give Israel alternative for what? To destroy the country? You think they're going to give it to you? You think that the people that have still number from Holocaust can even start fathom the idea that, you know, change is better? They don't want change. They don't. You know, change was in their life. They had it before. Now, you guys have to quit thinking about the Jewish people as something that is obstacle to anything. The Jewish people have a Bible to show for. Do you have a Bible to show for any of you? You guys have a Bible, a 3,000 years of book that is the most or the bestseller for all time to show for? The Jewish people have no history. Duh, really? Okay, ignorant. Go read something. You know, the Bible, for example, it's our testament. This is the testament for the Jewish people. What do you think it was made for? To make sure that the Jewish people come. All the punishment they got over from God, not from humankind, because who is the human who can punish for God? When God is in revealing himself, it's his deal. And then you go and you ask for the holy sites to take the heart of the nation. Yeah. No cigar, not happening. You want 367 border? Like, why? Israel is little. I want more land. I'm sorry. I want more land. I can't, you know, those side towers, not for my liking. I'm American. I want to live in a house with a garden. Well, what's wrong with you guys? Why I can't build? No, you cannot build in the settlement. Settlement who? Who told you that it's not doesn't belong to Israel? Does it belong to anybody else? No, Israel took over that land because of a dispute. No, they actually have agreement on the map. Agreement, actually agreement with Jordan. Jordan lost the war, have an agreement. The Palestinians reluctantly avoided everything for agreement. There is one rule that President Clinton can testify for. If anything he can do for the Jewish people, testify to the truth of that. That when Barack came and said with Arafat, if this is no deal, there is nothing is a deal. It means that all the rest is no deal. So we have no deal. No deal. Okay? So let's say, are you here with me? Are you saying that we have to, my goodness gracious, it's time to shush a little. I've been rolling, I guess. Let's get some music. I'll get back after that. And we are back, Malagueña Salerosa. You know, Mexican music, Mexican food. Really, you know, America taught me so many things. But to love the Hispanic tradition, to love others, was something that I can respectfully say that it's all a gift that I got from America. Not from my parents, of course, I got all the rest, blah, blah. But, you know, to really understand. And I learned Spanish. I learned Spanish from so many Mexicans, and they're all nice, and they're all good people. And, you know, there is like fragment that you can hear in the news, whatever happened, and you know it's happening for real. And you can say, you know, why? What's wrong with that picture that they have hard time? Why should they have hard time when they are such a nice people? So I want to send all my love to the people, you know, from my friends in California, everywhere, in South Carolina, and all the rest of, you know, in the world, in Cancun, and all in Mexico. And to tell them that you guys are special. You bring some sizzle to the world that we need. So please cheer up. Bring back some kind of reason to your place. Bring back South America to humanity and, you know, on all this obscure time that we had under Chavez, you know, need to, you know, in Venezuela, of course, needs to go away. You know, we have America's good news. They start talking to Cuba. Cuba is going to be the next tourist destination once, you know, they start having a normal relation. I think that we are on the right path. If there is anything that, you know, we can say honorably that America had accomplished just now, the breaking that embargo with Cuba. This is a big deal. Cuba was out, you know, I remember when I, in America, when you look for vacation, you look, okay, let's go to Mexico, let's go to the Bahama, let's go to Florida, let's go. What about Cuba? No, you cannot go to Cuba. Why cannot go to Cuba? Well, you're not allowed to go to Cuba. You're not traveling only on business or, I don't know, mission, whatever. But I wanted to go to Cuba. There were so many fantastic movies I wanted to see. And that's what's great about Hollywood. Hollywood will take you to a place and will make you feel the place that you want to go visit. Of course, you know, I didn't expect Tijuana the way I saw it. And whoever in Tijuana, we need to clean that place a little. Not because we need to maybe start a new border, a new line. What I'm saying is, let's start building. Enough about destroying. Let's create. I need institution of learning to how to build. In Israel, we have no American universities. Now, talking about a France that has everything about learning in the world, but I have no American institution of learning. Now, you guys can tell me that my best friend has the best knowledgeable information in the world. You know, knowledge. We're talking engineering, we're talking flying, we're talking building, creating, anything. But I don't have that institution. I cannot learn. You know, instead, you know, I know that the Chinese are sending all their kids to study abroad. I know that the Russians are studying flying in the Florida aviation schools. I'm telling, because I told somebody in South Carolina, we need aviation school there because, you know, we need to teach the kids how to fly because the future is the mechanical flying automobiles. So why not? And if you want to discover, you need to have the mileage, you need to go. So I like to fly. I actually tried to fly I have 27 hours that I, you know, I almost was ready for the solo. Then, of course, I was traveling from Elton Island that I did not have a tower at that time. And you know what is to take off without the tower is really nice and sweet, but the problem is that sometimes other airplane don't really hear you when you take off. So you end up taking off while the other is running on the same runway. Truth, that's the alternate island. Or you're practicing touch and go, and all of a sudden a U.S. Airplane is, you know, is like just zooming and landing after you. It's like, oh my God, I think I'm going to save my life by staying away from the runway. So let's quit actually flying. I have kids I have to watch for. But flying is an incredible experience. And whoever did not do it, please do. If you're in America, please fly. Please take a lesson. Please go and learn something. And I know that they have so many restrictions nowadays. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Learn to fly. Fly and give you a different perspective. First of all, teach you how to see in three dimensions. It means that from the height, you know, when you fly in a city and you're going from the airport, if you're not a pilot, you actually see a flat. You don't see actually towers or building height. You know, your dimension is flat from visual. But once you start learning to fly, you see dimension. So you're in three dimensions. So you're actually adding up a factors in your life that you didn't have before. So flying is my passion. I love to fly, and I think that if you can fly in Israel, you will see such a sweet land and beautiful, all together, very little. So I'm planning to help and call for university to come and be built here, maybe a school of aeronautics that will be nice if it will be a joint venture between all the, you know, the nation for free, loving, peacemaking humanity, and medical school. American medical school can be awesome too. Well, I'm yapping about what I can do when they have no budget for nothing. Now the Americans are reconsidering our friendship. Oh, that will be great. Instead of sending us a bomb, why don't you send us some books? I lost all my books. That was the most devastating of all. Between my trips to Israel and trip to back and forth, my book selection, and whoever knows me knows how I love books. So I think that losing books is horrible. And I can feel the pain again. But nothing like being away from the loved one. And that's how I feel when I'm away from my beloved South Carolina, where a lot of friends there, a lot of, grounds. The grounds are awesome. And the seagulls, my beloved seagulls. Yes. There are things that you have to do in life. You have to sacrifice in order to build some other place. That's why other Americans go other countries and build. And what I do here, I want to help Israel rebuild itself to this normal position. And please, America, don't be mad. We are underbuilding. You know, some huff and puff can be happening. And you know, whoever gets mad at us, nothing we can do about it, but just forgive us, and we love you, and we'll do everything to cheer you up, to help you, and be your best friends ever. You know, we'll make it up to you. Just don't get mad with Israel. Israel, too precious, too beautiful, and it's too holy, and it's the child that God gave to the world to bring peace. So give us a chance. Give us a chance to do that. Let's hear some music, and after we'll come back and we'll wrap it up today. And we are back on Shane Melodies, you know, from the Righteous Brother. Okay, Righteous Brother, it's so on the dot to be here with them today. Because to be righteous is to be right before God. It's to be nice and clear about your path in the world. And as I say before, I came back to Israel to build that part that I was supposed to build, to help build the future house of God. And that's what I like to do. My family, for a tradition from my grandfather, Gabriel, God bless his soul, used to be famous about being, you know, proud of building House of God. He wanted people to come together, even though it's a little club looking, you know, it's coming together with all the men in one place, all the women in one place. People think, why, you know, that division? You know, because men like to talk between men and girls like to talk between girls. For us, it's normal. But there are people, of course, that they want to break all this. Oh, God, I have to sit with my husband. No, sit with the girl. It's better. You pray together for the real stuff that you need to pray for. You know, for get healthy children, get a woman, the way to, you know, to deliver right, to the people to heal, the whole, you know, that needs to be taken care of. That's the stuff that the women talk about, you know, how to cook, how to bring the house together, how to create a world that you can live in. And men, they're talking about business, how to work, how to bring stuff. More things to connect. Let's say it. We love men. We love, you know, our part with men in the world. But we like our part as women, too. We need our space, too. So God gave us this beautiful thing about the called, you know, the House of God. And this House of God asks. Jewish people in my family built a lot, and I've been lucky enough to say that I keep that tradition. And there is one nice one that is erected in Ranana that's built to last, as they say, that I can say that I was one that, you know, that helped break ground, literally, you know, when everybody wanted not to have. That's where I came about. And other places also experience that I rather not recall. But the one that really, really touched my heart is the one, the Holy Temple of All, the big Temple of Jerusalem. And if you like it or not, it's going to be built. That's destiny. That's the way it is. You know, they like it or not, whatever. There is so much space on Temple Mount. What's the big deal? What is the big deal? So I'm helping to settle the score here. It's not easy because they're a little aggravating. They shoot somebody even because he was annoying them. He came every day. He was actually a guest on our show here before he got shot. Like 2 weeks before, he came and talked about, you know, we want to pray on Temple Mount. They don't let us. They scream at us all day long. They throw us, you know, the police throw us to jail because of that. And I'm saying, oh, all those beautiful goody tissues, the Clinton-esque company, don't come and complain about that. What about the core, the piece of core that we had with Jordan? Didn't we have mentioned that we are supposed to have our freedom of worship? How many times I have to tell, you know what, I'll tell it again and again and again. This is my show. I'll tell it. This is God's space, and I have to mention him, and I have to mention the fact that there is not a holy temple in Jerusalem. There are billion Christians that believe in God. And there's supposed to be a temple in Jerusalem. There is Jewish people, not so many, and we are little, but we make a lot of noise. And we believe that there must be a temple. But there are that few, those arrogant few that don't want to mention it all. Oh, God, don't get people upset. Don't get upset. You know, we want peace. Yeah, we want peace, but they are eating us. You know, I want to have God's place. Okay, so you want to fight about it? Because I want to pray. Oh, I want to worship God. He calls the God of Israel. He doesn't call the same name that you guys call him. So you don't want him to have a place because I call him differently. I talk to him differently. It's a different language. That's what happened. It's different culture, different language. What's so funny about that? Anyway, I think we ran out of time, but I just promise you this. I respect you. I give you everything in my heart to have the blessing of God and everything that you can have accomplished. I pray for you to accomplish. I hope your day will be blessed. I hope your light will shine. I hope all your kids will be beautiful, smart, and grow rich and happy. Please, let's start changing this world in the right direction. Let's make it pretty. Let's study together. Let's read the book together. Let's go to the library. Let's sing a song. Let's dance. And let's grow some more flowers. We need more flowers. And let's keep more animals safe. Life is precious. It was God's gift to us, to humanity. Let's be worthy this all he gave us. And this is Orly Benny Davis. This is BBS Radio, The Impossible Truth. Every Monday on BBS Radio, you'll find a space where God is honored, you are loved, and I'm talking. All right, so Orly Benny Davis, say goodbye. Bye-bye, and talk to you next week. God bless. Take care.